Okay, thanks, Tim, for kind invitation. And also, I'd like to thank the organizers for this wonderful event and the invitation. My talk today is about a class of interested models which are driven by a family of Levy processes. The talk is based on a paper I am trying to finish, hopefully in time for the proceedings of the conference, with Lane Houston and Irwin Mackie from Imperial College, which is the top paper up here. I'm also using my own technology. It's even brighter than Jim's pointer. But the talk also builds up on some of the earlier works, which I'm going to point out as we move along. So I'm going to sort of start with a deep end, so to speak, by showing you a formula which I'd like to draw some attention to. So this is a work which goes back to towards the end of the last century by Lane Houston, who, along with Bjorn Fletcher, noticed that if you have a family of discount bonds, so these are bonds which matures at some time capital T, and it delivers one unit of currency, and if the interest rate, nominal interest rate, were to be positive, which we need for arbitrage freeness, then a discount bond can be written in the form of this ratio in equation one. So let me explain the notation. So PTT is going to denote the price at time little t of a bond which matures at time capital T. And what they have noticed is that if you have a family of discount bond system with maturity big T, then it admits this ratio in equation one, where MTU is a family of positive martingale, which starts from 1. Now, the first index, I'm going to use the notation where the first index denotes the process index, and the second index is going to denote the parameter, the functional dependence. So MTU is very MT of U. It's a one-parameter family of martingales, which is positive. And then in the integrand, what comes before this positive martingale is this term, which is the derivative of the initial bond price, initial discount function, which can be fed in through the specification of the initial yield curve. Now, I'd like to draw further attention to this term in the integrand, this derivative of discount bond. And sometime later, Lane Houston noticed that, in fact, one can regard the discount function as representing a form of a survival function. That is to say, you have a function which has to be decreasing, and it starts from 1 and asymptotically approaches 0. So you can think of P as a survival function, or if you like, the right-sided cumulative density function. And therefore, if you take the differential of P, let's take the initial discount function with a minus sign here, then that defines a probability density function. And this applies even if the interest rate is deterministic or constant. There's already implied existence of probability embedded in the interest rate term structure. So that's the case for the initial discount function, but you can look at the dynamics of this measure value process. And for this purpose, sometimes it's useful to transform the variable from maturity to time left to maturity, sometimes known as the Mozilla parameterization. So the idea is that if I have a discount bond which has got Z year to mature at time T, I differentiate with respect to Z and hit with minus sign, that defines a measure-valued process automatically. And therefore, there exists an abstract random variable with units of time such that a discount function, if you like, from survival analysis, can be expressed in terms of the conditional probability that this random time is above big T, as in equation 4. So that was the later observation, and based on that observation, we investigated the dynamics of discount, this term structure density process, which is always there, and it turns out that in arbitrage-free context, the dynamics of the term structure density is generated by this equation 5 down here. Let me explain the ingredients. So R is the sort rate, that's the term structure density itself, the derivative of that. And then I have this volatility structure here. Nu t of z is a function of z, and it could be some arbitrary specified stochastic process. Nu bar of t is the expectation of this nu t evaluated at random variable z in the term structure density. Okay, so that sort of guarantees that rho is a measure valued process. And so this is the result in a context where we have a Brownian-driven market. And therefore, in that context, now the idea here is that we can specify this volatility structure nu along with the initial term structure and let things evolve. And in the Brownian context, if I were to translate the time variable back into maturity variable and let the volatility structure denote by v sub t, then for arbitrary-free discount bond dynamics in the Brownian context, the bond price can always be written in this form. So the idea is you specify the initial term structure by initial yield curve along with the volatility structure v here, and thus let things evolve. So it is very much in the spirit of HZM framework, where again one specifies the initial time structure along with the forward rate volatility there. But there are some advantages in this time structure density approach. The first one is that if one thinks about the evolution of interest rate time structure, one is really talking about the dynamics of this yield curve, which is, if you like, an infinite dimensional object. And it is quite difficult to think of the dynamics of some abstract curve, this yield curve, in a sort of coherent way. But if you transform into the time structure density, so the idea is that there's one-to-one correspondence between the yield curve and this probability density function. And we all know a lot about probability density functions. And if you have a dynamics in a space of density functions, there's a lot mileage to be gained. So that's one advantage. The second advantage is that the interest rate positivity is guaranteed here, whereas if you try to use the HZM type approach by modeling the forward rate volatility, the interest rate positivity is not ensured. And one can certainly work out the condition in the HZM formalism for interest rate positivity in terms of this V. So one can show that in order for an HZM type approach to be free of arbitrage for nominal interest rate system, the forward rate volatility has to take that form. And there's kind of resemblance to, if you like, Seibert type dynamics, except there's some differences, so it has to be proportional to F, not to some power of F. And then there's a difference of V at big T minus this expression, which I won't go into the details here, but it's roughly speaking, it's the conditional expectation of V at earlier time, so to speak, roughly speaking. And therefore, if the value of V at big T and its expectation at earlier time is large, then volatility is going to be large and so on and so forth. So that's the second advantage. The third point is something noticed by Filipovic and Teichmann more recently, who looked at the Levy extension of HZM interest rate system. And what they have observed is that using the forward rate dynamics, there are various technical issues which can be circumvented in the case of time structure density dynamics. And based on that spirit, they extended the so-called Brody-Houston SPDE in the context of Levy process. And that's part of the motivation behind our work, although we don't want to take the route of starting with an SDE or SPDE. The reason is because it's much easier to specify a stochastic process rather than specify a differential equation, because in the latter case you have to solve it, whereas if you specify the process, you don't have to worry about solving this or even worrying about the existence of the solution. So the idea is that we're going to go back to the so-called Flesacker-Houston representation, excuse me, up here, and try to model this M, the martingale, from the outset. In terms of various Levy processes. So how are we going to proceed? Now, of course, we like to keep things as as sophisticated as we can, but nevertheless simple so that we'll get some nice results out. And since M is a family of positive martingales, a natural choice is to consider the geometric Levy martingales as our candidate. So this is how we're going to construct this one parameter family of martingales. So this, now we're talking about specific model that we're going to use. So let L be some Levy process starting from zero, and then we form the geometric Levy martingale according to this ratio in equation 10, sometimes known as the Escher transform of the process. And based on that martingale, we're going to study a range of models. So the simplest model would be the Brownian motion. Okay, so what happens? So for Brownian motion, we substitute L equals B. I forgot to mention one other important thing. The coefficient in the geometric Levy martingale is going to be an input parameter, which in this case is a function of x, phi of x. Okay, so that's going to be the input parameter to be calibrated. Okay, so in that way we form one parameter family of martingales. Okay, parameters by x. Okay, so there's a one functional degree of freedom which we can try to fit at later points, which is this phi of x. Okay, so in the Brownian context, we have this geometric Brownian motion for M, and the bond price is given by that ratio up there. And you can work out the associated short rate in closed form. And once you have an explicit form for the bond price, then one can, of course, take the stochastic differential and then ask what kind of SDE it satisfies. And it's given by this equation down here, in equation 14 here. So in this case, the Brownian motion B model here is the market Brownian motion in the sense that it is in the physical probability measure. And one sees from the dynamical equation of the bond price that firstly, the volatility structure of the bond price is given by this difference of a function capital phi, which is defined down here. So capital phi of t, little t, big T, is the conditional expectation of the function phi evaluated at that random variable, this abstract random variable, which I hinted at earlier, conditional on the fact that random variable takes value larger than capital T. So that's the interpretation of phi little t big T, and phi little t is the same thing, except the conditioning is at earlier time little t. So again, the volatility process has got a nice structure. Basically, it says what's the expectation value of phi of x, where x is this time structure random variable representing time, forwarded to time capital T minus the expectation at time little t. And that difference, if the forward expectation and current expectation difference is large, then the bond volatility is going to be large. Otherwise, the volatility is going to remain small. So that's the volatility structure. The drift is given by the short rate, as one would expect, plus excess rate of return, which is given by that product term over here, which also depends on this phi. And from that expression, we see that since that difference is the volatility, phi little t here is going to determine the market price of risk. And what that means is that if we can calibrate the function degree of freedom phi, then using that information, we can try to calibrate market implied, derivative price implied value of market price of risk. And this is one nice feature of the model, because we all know that by looking at the dynamics of the asset price, there's no hope of estimating the excess rate of return, whereas if you look at a range of derivative prices, then there is a hope of backing out some information about market implied risk premium. So that's one side remark, which is not what we're going to look at today. So that's the case for the bond price. What about the pricing of a, say, bond option? So I'm going to look at the European style call option on the discount bond. That's in a risk neutral expectation of the discounted payout. So I'm going to look at a bond which matures at time capital T, and I'm going to price an option which matures at time little t, sometime before the maturity of the bond, which allows the bondholder to purchase the discount bond which matures at time capital T for the price K. Now, it turns out that it's convenient to change the measure from the risk-neutral measure back into the market measure and fiddling around some terms. And after some elementary algebra, one can actually take that expectation quite explicitly. And the point is, if you look at the bond price dynamics, because of this rational form involving this infinite terms in the denominator and infinite terms in the numerator, one might have thought that the evaluation of any contingent claim is going to be hopeless. Furthermore, the volatility is highly stochastic. It's infinitely stochastic in the sense that if you take the vol of vol, it's going to be stochastic and so on and so forth. So a priori, one might have thought that this is rather challenging problem, but the nice feature of this rational representation is that things are bound to work out. And this is a nice example. So by computing that expectation explicitly, we get an explicit formula for the option price, which involves this initial term structure, rho of x. So just to remind you the notation, rho of x is minus the derivative of the initial bond price in maturity, so that you can calibrate directly from the initial yield curve in a one-to-one way. And remember, we are taking this positive part, which turns out to involve, just like in the Black-Scholes theory, some critical value for the Brownian motion for which this difference becomes positive. That critical value is denoted here as C star. And then phi is that function I've hinted at earlier. And there's this plus minus sign here. This sign reflects whether this function phi is going to be decreasing or increasing. And in the case of decreasing phi, one other thing I also have commented is that since this capital phi little t determines the market price of risk, one can show that if this function phi is decreasing, then the excess rate of return is positive, otherwise it's going to be negative. So we would like to choose phi to be decreasing, positive decreasing function, in which case that's going to select out one of the signs. On the other hand, if we know that there's an abnormal situation in the market where the excess rate of return is negative, then we might, on some peculiar situation, wish to choose an alternative choice for phi. So that's the option price, and we can simulate these processes explicitly. So that's the number of sample paths for the short rate. The initial term structure is set at a constant rate, 2%. And here we have chosen positive decreasing function for phi, an exponentially decaying function phi, and those are the results of the bond price simulation. The associated short rate looks like this. Yes, Jan? Right. So, yes. Okay, that's one point I should have drawn attention to. So here I'm actually working with single factor, although nothing much would change if I have a vector in a product here. So phi could be a vectorial function, if you like. And this is the p-dynamic case. You don't need that because the whole frame, the setup is already guaranteed not to exclude arbitrage. The point is, phi is given by that expression down here explicitly. So we don't have freedom for phi. Are you talking about capital phi or small factor? Okay, yeah. So, yeah, the point is you can choose any phi. It doesn't necessarily guarantee the positivity of the excess rate of return here. If you want to ensure a positive risk premium, then you have to choose phi to be positive and decreasing, or negative and increasing. That's the only constraint. But in either case, it's not going to have arbitrage by construction. So, so that's sort of one of the beauties of time structure density approach is that you just have to specify the volatility structure of the time structure density dynamics, and that can be done in an arbitrary way. So long as the density exists, then that's all we need. Okay, and that volatility, volatility structure in this case, which I called V earlier, is given by this one function phi of x in this case. So in a more general case, phi of x could be time dependent, but here we're going to look at a simpler family of models. If a phi has got deterministic time dependence, again, everything turns out to be tractable, and one can price everything. Is that okay, so that's the short rate, and we can also plot the price of an option on discount bonds. And so here, this is plotted against the price of the initial price of the underlying bonds, and that's the time left to maturity. So that's the time left to maturity equals zero. The bond has got maturity 1 year in this example, and that's the initial bond price. And we see that the for maturing option, we have this hockey stick type shape. And as we move away, we get this kind of behavior. And I'm going to come back to this behavior of the option price slightly later. Now, the second model that I'm going to look at is the case of a gamma process. And if you like, if the Brownian motion is the front runner of the continuous version of Debye process, I think it's fair to argue that the gamma process is the front runner of the jump based Debye process. And so we have a gamma process with increment which has got a density function given by the gamma distribution function. And again, by explicitly computing the geometric gamma martingale, we're going to obtain an explicit formula for the discount bond price process. And the associated short rate, again, can be written explicitly. And one can also, even in this context, explicitly price an option on the bond in essentially closed form. Unlike the Brownian context, in this case, as one would expect, the option price is expressed in terms of incomplete gamma integral. And if we look at some simulation sample paths, because gamma process is an increasing process, what one finds is that all the upwards jump in gamma process, which is the only jump you have, results in upward jump for the bond price. So if you look at the corresponding short rate, what that means is that in the case of gamma-driven interest rate model, whenever there's a jump, that brings down the short rate. And when there's, when there isn't a big jump, then the short rate is going to increase. Now, of course, gamma process is limited to one-sided jump, and therefore a natural extension, of course, is to look at variance gamma process, which is the next example I'm going to look at here. And in the case of variance gamma, again, we can compute the geometric VG martingale in closed form, and that is going to give us an explicit form for the bond price, as well as the short rate process. There are various parameters appearing in these expressions involving various parameters in the probability density function for the VG process. And once again, we can work out the price of an option in closed form using techniques that have been developed by Dilip Madan. And there's a little anecdote that I heard from Len Houston. Apparently, when the positive interest paper came out, there's an occasion where Dilip came to see Len Houston and said, well, that's all nice, but can you have a VG-based positive interest model? And some 10 years later, we have an answer to that request. So here is the BT-based positive interest model. So that's, again, sorry, let's look at the simulation of the BT case. Now, in the BT case, we have this mixture of Brownian-type behavior and gamma-type behavior, which at least to the naked eye looks very, gives a very, look, very plausible-looking dynamics. So that's the dynamics for the bond price. For the associated short rate, these are some of the sample paths. And again, we can work out the option price. And that's, the, that's again, the plot of the option price as a function of time left to maturity and the initial price for fixed strike. The strike here is set at 0.85, which is up there. Okay, so that's the pricing issue. What about the sensitivity issue? In particular, if you have some generic Levy-driven interest rate model, how do we study the sensitivity of the price of the option, for example, in terms of the initial price of the underlying? And a couple of weeks ago in Slovenia, there was a very nice conference, AMAMF conference, organized partly by Alex Mijatovic and others. And there's one talk in which the speaker was talking about the issue to do with working out the option delta in the case of Levy-driven HCM models. And my first response was that surely it can't be that difficult. So I said, look into this. And I learned two things. The first thing I learned was that it wasn't as easy as I had hoped. The second thing I learned is that, nevertheless, one can go quite far, at least in the case of single factor models. So here is how it's going to work. Now let me just draw attention to the difficulty involved, which may or may not have been pointed out in the literature in the past, I'm not sure. The point is that if we talk about the initial price of discount bonds, that is in fact dependent on the choice of this term structure density. So the initial price of a bond is a functional of this function rho of x. And if we think about perturbation, then what we have is an infinite way of perturbing this function rho of x. So bond price is a functional of rho, and likewise the core price is also a functional of rho. Put matter differently, the price of an option is not an explicit function of the initial discount bond price. It depends on p in an implicit way through that function rho of x. So then the question is, how are we going to perturb in order to determine the sensitivity of the option price? And of course, the natural approach to such an issue is to apply standard method of functional differentiation. So what we consider is that we vary the function rho of x by a small amount, epsilon, in the direction specified by eta. So if you think of rho of x as a density function, you can take the square root of rho, then you get a vector in Hilbert space. So for each rho, you can consider a tangent vector to that rho vector, which is eta. So you're going to perturb rho slightly in an orthogonal direction. And if we were to do that, then that is going to result in a shift of the discount, initial discount bond price. So that's sort of perturbation we're going to consider. So in particular, if we have a core price, which is a functional of this term structure density, initial term structure density, we can look at the sensitivity of C in the direction of eta. Okay. Now eta, of course, is orthogonal to rho, so it has to integrate up to zero. Okay. So that's what we would like to consider. So now let's go back to the general Flesaker-Houston representation, except now we assume that M is any positive martingale. It doesn't have to be driven by Brownian motion, and it doesn't have to be one of the three models I've just pointed out. The point of the Flesaker-Houston framework is that if the model has got no arbitrage, then whatever the driving process might be, the bond price can be written in terms of that ratio. Okay, so I'm going to try to look at most general result first, and then plot a specific example. So we have that right here, and we are going to perturb that with respect to rho. And after some algebra, I'm not going to explain how that's done, but it's not too difficult, it turns out. One can work out explicitly some expression for arbitrary m in the direction of eta. So that gives us the perturbation of the corpus in the direction of eta. The next question is, which eta should we choose? Now, if we are going to now work with a single factor model, then in some ways it doesn't matter which perturbation we are going to apply. We just have to pick one which is most convenient and also most natural from economic point of view. So the perturbation we're going to consider here is a constant shift of the initial yield curve by an amount epsilon. Okay. So R the T is the initial yield curve as a function of maturity big T, and we're going to shift that R by a small amount, epsilon. Okay. So that's the perturbation we're going to apply. And under that perturbation, the time structure density is going to be perturbed in that way. So this eta function, which is orthogonal to rho, is essentially the first two terms in the Taylor series expansion of the initial bond price. So under that perturbation, one can show that the bond price changes according to equation 40, which is what one would have expected. And therefore, by the chain rule, we can differentiate C with respect to the initial price, and then we get that expression, which in turn gives us the sensitivity of the bond option with respect to the initial price of the bond, which essentially involves fairly elementary integrals of this function m little t of x. M is a deterministic function, which is the conditional expectation of the big M, which in many examples would be fairly easy to compute, at least numerically. So what that means is that this result gives us, for arbitrary Levy-driven interest rate system, the sensitivity of the option price in initial price, provided that we're working with a single factor model. Okay, so I'm going to close by just showing you the resulting plot for the delta for the two of the models. So that's the delta one obtains in a Brownian context. It has got all the right limiting values, which one can check. Of course, the behavior of delta in the context of discount bond option is quite different from what one might have naively expected in a Black-Scholes type stock option context. So in particular, there's a very pronounced growth of delta at around some border, as you see over here. And what that means is that option gamma, in the case of a bond option, is extremely pronounced as compared to standard equity option situation. And intuitive reason for seeing this is that if you think of option delta, at least in a Black-Scholes type context, it increases from 0 gradually to 1 as the underlying price ranges between 0 and infinity. But in the case of discount bond, underlying is, if you like, squeezed from infinite horizon to unit horizon between 0 and 1. And somehow delta has to change in this very squeezed region. And therefore, one really has to worry about the gamma effect coming into various risk management of interest rate derivatives. So that's the case for Brownian-driven model. What about the VG-driven model? Again, one sees something qualitatively similar, although different in detail behavior for the delta of the option. So I think that's a good place for me to stop. Thank you.